Grandma manifested with a reindeer. Vision boards and spells beneath the tree. And you might say there's no such thing as magic. But as for me and Sadie, we believe.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 105.
Woo! I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet.
Obviously. And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to inspire you to live magically.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
Already.
Live magically. I love it.
I'm very excited because this week I'm going to sit back and learn about psychic animals. We have Boo here with us.
Boo is here. Boo just got a bath, so she is so soft and she smells so good.
Really good. Call her stinky for another couple weeks because she just got her bath.
Oh, and I'm loving it.
She came home with a Christmas bandana and already figured out how to take it off, but that's fine.
She's an all-natural kind of girl.
She is. Getting comfy.
And she's, there you go. Okay.
Before we dive into psychic animals, though, Juliet, what's new with you?
What's new with me? Well, I had a pretty fun week. I'm going to start with the topic of animals. Something magical happened yesterday. So you all know I'm on the journey of bonding with my rescue budgie, sweetie girl, one young sweetie girl. And, you know, after her incident running into everything, she's just not been the same. And she doesn't really want to eat out of my hand and very nervous. But I've been determined to find something that will make this bird happy. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was Elvis. No.
Who is it?
It's the Beatles.
Oh, sweetie girl.
You put on I Want to Hold Your Hand. You put on Hard Day's Night. You put on Twist and Shout. She bobs her little tail.
Oh.
Okay. She sings along. She makes noises. I'm like, there's a bird. Because all day she makes zero noise, which we're taking her to a vet. Don't worry. It is alarming. makes no noise. But the Beatles come on. Bobbing her head. She loves the beat.
We need footage
crying.
Of this.
I'll show you some from my phone. It, like, the nanny cam we have on her, like, it didn't really pick it up too good, but I'm gonna get footage. So this morning we had our parrot enrichment music appreciation hour. That's why I'm a little late.
Parrot enrichment.
Oh, she just loves the Beatles. It, like, lights up her little soul.
I'm ready for you to go bird talk viral.
I know.
I'm ready for it.
I know. 2023, everybody, is the year.
Juliet's going to bird talk.
And she does love when I sit in front of her and I play guitar. And are you okay? And she jumps to the closest perch and she loves to have me sing to her and I write her little songs.
Well, you need to record yourself doing that.
Okay, I'll make content out of it.
Content, lady.
I know. It's so really sweet. Cute. So this is the sweetie girl journey.
You know, on your mission of posting your Christmas song every day, one of them should be you doing it acoustically and singing to Sweetie Girl.
Oh,
that would be a really good one.
Okay, I'll do that this weekend.
Maybe that's the one.
The one.
That goes viral.
I love that. I'm ready for my hit song. I'm claiming it. So, okay, that was like the highlight of my life. What else is new? It's been a very musical week. I also was invited to a house show because my dad is in a newer band and they do like house shows. They're this really sweet community. And I was invited and I got to see my dad all dressed up. Maybe some of you saw it on my Instagram in his head to toe velvet outfit with his top hat. Playing the bass, singing harmonies.
He looks so cool. I was like, no, that's a cool dad.
He's such a cool dad.
He's the coolest.
It's so funny how you know, when you're little, your parents are proud of you. And then as you get older, you become proud of your parents. And I just sat there just so happy watching him be so happy, like in his most full expression, like dressed like a rock star, around rock stars, playing his music. So that was a delight. And then my uncle, who's also a rock star, and his new band, they also played. And it reminded me, you know, the Pipers have a long history of being performers and musicians. Mm-hmm. And when they grew up as teenagers, they were doing house shows like this. And like, my dad turns 70 next year and he's still doing it. And it's so cool.
That's so amazing because, I mean, your dad has had an incredible career of like playing in theaters and doing huge gigs.
Oh, yeah.
But like, you don't have to be doing that to be successful at the thing you're passionate about. Like I think we need to shift our definition of success. Is that like you're doing it and it
you're
brings
doing
you joy
it,
and
period.
Like cool if you get to do it in a theater or a sold out stadium, but also like just that he keeps doing it and it's not only about like, oh, I've done a theater, like I'm too good to do a house mm-hmm. show or something. Like I just think that's so fun and cool, and he's just doing it because he loves it.
I know.
It's amazing.
It was amazing. And then my uncle's new project, they do covers. They did like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. So they did a Roy Orbison song, and it was very fun because we all were harmonizing in the audience, and I love to sing in a group. And then at one point I went up and sang my Christmas song, and it was very fun. I was reminded that I don't love singing live because I get nervous and then my voice doesn't hit the notes, and my ears have perfect pitch but my voice does not. So I can hear when I'm off, and I'm like, then I focus on it. But I still did it. It was fun. And everybody was so supportive. You know, it was very low stakes. And what was very magical about it was that when I used to work, so I used to be really close with my cousin Casey. He's my first cousin. And we're still, you know, in the same room at events with the family all the time, but we just almost never talk anymore. We used to be like, he was my brother because I didn't have any siblings and he doesn't have any siblings. And so he was at this event because his dad was performing. And then our dad's friend, who's also our friend, Steve Altman, was there, who's another very talented performer. And it was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. Number one, my cousin and I reconnected and had the best time. Oh. And I just forgot, like, oh my gosh, I'm part of multiple communities. Like, I think I spend all of my brain power focused on this one, which is a powerful and a magical and amazing one. But I was thinking, oh my gosh, like, from the time I was 18, I was working for their show and my cousin was doing sound and we would travel around with them and go on tour and help sell the merch. And then if we were stationed at theaters in Los Angeles, we would like help run the show. And all these people were like family to me. I mean, most of them were family, but it was just like, oh my God, I almost forgot about this whole little universe. And then I got invited back to go Christmas caroling with them. So I'm very excited.
That's going to be fun.
But the funny thing that happened that night was I am learning more and more that my memory is not the strongest because my cousin Casey was like, oh yeah, remember when we worked at such and such club and the police raided it during the show because the mob owned the club? And I said, I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, you were working at the front and I was working, you know, doing back end stuff. And the police, I'm like, they didn't like run in. They just walked in. He said, yeah. I'm like, OK, I vaguely remember that. He's like, they went to the cash box. They took all the cash. He's like, remember, there was a whole lawsuit because our dads wanted to buy this venue, but like the mafia was running it and like they were not disclosing. And I was like, oh my, yes, I completely forgot.
You know, it's a sign of intelligence to not have a good memory. Because,
is it really?
I have a fucking great memory. I remember everything. I'm very intelligent, but
very
because
intelligent.
It can be, obviously there's memory issues, but it can be a sign of a healthy brain function to not hold on to every memory ever because we don't need to, and you have the capacity to take in your present moment
That I believe that's
better.
Correct. I feel so immersed in every single moment, and there'll be so many times when Victor's like, "Remember we did this?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "No."
Because I remember everything.
Oh my gosh.
I remember the month, the year,
the mob.
The mob. I would have remembered the police officer's name, you know, like I not that that's fine, but
yeah, that one slipped my mind. Forgot about that.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing, is what I'm trying to say.
Great.
It's a good thing.
I love that. But I was like, I can't wait to tell Sadie about the time that, you know, I was working and
got raided by the police
in a mafia venue. So I'm gonna have to do a little more digging on that.
Yeah.
Have you all been listening long enough to know that I have a lot of very strange stories? Yes. And connections.
We need to like dig through all of them and clip them all together, I feel like.
I'm like, oh yeah, this. Oh yeah, that.
Because you'll always be like, oh, I didn't do anything too interesting, whatever. And then you come out with the most random batshit insane story. I'm like, okay. Okay, miss, not that interesting, quotes.
So that was one thing that happened in the past week, which just really made me so happy. It rained, which I loved. Mm. I loved the rain. And I'm sure by the time this episode comes out, this trend will be done and over with.
Yeah.
But I did the AI.
Oh,
art
right.
Thing.
I didn't do it, but I want to. I just haven't. I don't know. I've got stuff going on.
I was thinking if you want it as a Christmas gift,
oh!
I'll just do it for you today.
Sure.
Because here's the thing. We all know it doesn't replace an artist. There's
right.
no comparison, and all that. But you get like 3 to 4 stunning images and then 96, what? That's what the rest of them are. And everybody's, I'm noticing, kind of only sharing the good ones.
Yeah.
And so I took the initiative to share the really bad ones. It was so bad that I did it twice. I was like, I'm going to try again and use just better, clearer photos.
Yeah.
And it was worse the second time. So don't do it more than once. It is, I really just,
you
I might as well have thrown $12 in the trash. But it was, you know, there's a reason why it's very popular right now. Obviously, it's like a few bucks to do, but we love seeing ourselves in this like beautiful light. Mm-hmm. There's something kind of, I kept going through some of them and I was like, oh my God, this is how I believe I look. This is how my higher self looks like. So for that purpose, I thought it was very, very fun. And I got one heck of a laugh out of the really, really bad ones.
It's been fun watching everyone drop them in the Coven Discord and just see like the good ones and the bad ones. It's been fun because some of them I'm like, I know there's two. They're the MyHeritage ones
there's
where they
MyHeritage.
Do like different time eras, and it kind of made me emotional because I was like, I feel like I'm looking at these people's like ancestral line, you know?
I know. I still kind of want to
cool.
do that one.
Yeah.
There's one girl in our coven named Chelsea, and she posted one of hers of her riding a horse.
Oh yeah.
And that horse's ass was about. You could have fit 4 horses in there, just the way that the robot decided to put this together. So yeah, that's sort of been fun. We've been playing with that in our coven, just sharing those pictures. Even if you're not in our coven, DM us your bad AI pictures because they really are entertaining.
They are.
And I'm sure the trend is already over by now.
Yeah.
Like, by the time this comes out, it
Who
will
knows?
Already be a thing of the past. But that was entertaining. And then what else? I thought I would chat about the music, the AI. I think my song comes out this week.
Oh my goodness.
On the 12th. So that would be maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
12, 13,
14. Is today.
It's out. Here it is.
I was like, our masterclass is on the 14th, which is Wednesday. So the 12th is Monday.
Oh
when
my gosh.
The episode drops.
Everybody.
Oh no.
Run to Spotify after this episode and go listen to my new song, I Am Free. It is a nourishing song. It's a big hug. It's very tender. It's very delicate. I love it so much. It's very pretty. And it's as. My goal was to make a religious hymn that isn't religious, and I nailed it, I believe. So go check that out. If you like it, add it to your playlists and send it to a friend. And just, you know, it's so funny. I was thinking about when I used to do music, 10 to 15 years ago, you know, you would sell CDs or you would, people would pay 99 cents for a download.
Yeah.
And now my gift really is my song. And this one's for you because nobody buys music anymore.
Yeah.
So just go enjoy it. It's a gift. Happy holidays. Merry Witchmas. enjoy. So that's what's new with me, Sadie. And I have a little boo girl in my lap, and Mister's coming to say hi.
Snorting around here. He's still got his Christmas bandana on. Maybe he'll come show everybody. Mister!
And we have a great episode today about psychic animals. Just so you can be on the edge of your seat, excited for that. What's new with you, Sadie?
Lots of stuff. This weekend I had like a super psychic day. And it was so fun.
That's
he jumped
way.
Up really high to get up there.
You that's went, one way to do it.
Look at his bandana. It's really cute.
Wow.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays from Mr. Cat. Okay. So on Saturday, Craig and I went to this historical house called the Bannon Mansion. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, so Craig's family, some of them live in Wilmington, which is just a city in LA County, and they live in the historical neighborhood. And at the like beginning of the historical street is this gigantic mansion, and it's been preserved and turned into a museum. And now the gentleman's first name is evading me, but it's something, it's like Phineas Bannon or something.
Okay.
And he was from, I think it was Wilmington, Pennsylvania, or somewhere on the East Coast. He moved to California, and he they're close to the port. And so he sort of started the port, started the whole, like, the ships coming in and out and delivering stuff. He named the city of Wilmington after the city he came from. And he was in everything. He built this city, basically.
He built this city. Rock and roll.
So they were having, like, a cute Christmas thing. The house was decorated, and they had, like, horse-drawn carriages that were taking you on little rides and stuff. And so Craig's mom called and was like, she knows I love like going to historical stuff. I love a good like reenactor, people in the clothes for talking to you like they're from the, like
pretend. I love it.
Like I could, I was like, when I was there, you know, they're all volunteers typically. So I was like, maybe I need to like volunteer like this, memorize all the history of something and be like, I think that'd be fun. So she called and she's like, oh, they're having this event, you gotta come. So we went, and we had to like wait in line because there's lots of people wait in line to like walk through the house. They only want a, you know, limited amount of people. It's all historical. So we go in, and the second we cross the threshold, there's two people zoom in, a man and a woman, like in spirit. And this guy just starts talking to me, and he's like, first I see an image of him, and then we walk into the first room, and there's a big portrait on the wall. It's him. And I'm just like, I saw that like 5 seconds before I walk in and see this portrait. Okay. There's nothing he looks like outside of the house or anything. And I didn't do any research or anything. It's crazy. And then he start like, I'm just kind of like hearing things that he's like telling me about his life and whatever. I knew nothing about him. And it's like, again, it's like seconds before the volunteers that you're walking past, they just repeat the same information over and over again. It's like seconds before they're saying something. And I keep nudging Craig, and I'm trying to like say something so that I can kind of like show him what's happening, but it's like hard because we're trying to listen in, whatever. But he was telling me like, oh, like one of the things is like he started like a, like where they like would make like beef jerky, like a drying like type factory for meat, like a meat drying situation. And he had the ports, and he had his hands in like every kind of business. He was just telling me how he's like, you can be successful at as many things as you want to be. I did it. It was that kind of thing. And then we like walked to the next room, and the woman's like, oh, he had a beef jerky factory. And he's like, I'm like, that was so weirdly specific, because I was like, what? It was so funny as we were walking through the house. And then there's just this woman with him too, and she's not really saying anything, but I think it was like him and his wife. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, they appeared to me very young. And then as we're leaving the last section, this gentleman saying how they both died very young. And I was, it was just so interesting. And then I was like, okay, I'm leaving the house now. Please do not come with me. And it like stopped.
Bye-bye now.
But I had never really experienced something so like, I don't know, so strongly like that before, walking into a place. I guess I just haven't like gone to a historical home.
That'll do it.
It was the pandemic for a while, and then I just haven't gotten around to doing this kind of thing. I have felt stuff in an antique store before, but it was really cool, and it was just sort of these like these split seconds of downloads right before the volunteer would say the information. I was just like, I was getting dizzy. I was like, whoa, this is like, I was like, this is so much. But it was really fun and it was really cool. And the house was like so beautiful. They had these giant Christmas trees in them decorated. And I really wanted to take pictures, but there was no pictures allowed in it, which I get. Like, they get donations for going through the house. So, but that was really cool. And then you go down the street a ways and there's, it was called the Drum Barracks. And so his mom's like, oh, you gotta take Sadie there too. So we just like walk past like their house and go down. And on the walk there, I'm like, I don't know what drum barracks means. And after the fact, I was like, oh, barracks, like where like soldiers stay. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand that. I was like, so where are we going? And we're walking there and I looked at Craig and I was like, is this place by chance famously haunted? And he like looked at me, he was like, yeah, it is. It's been on a bunch of TV shows. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So we just go and it is like a place where like the soldiers would stay, and they have a bunch, they've got like a guy doing like tin oil photographs or whatever.
Oh.
Or tin, or I don't know. It's like on tin.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're so cool. And there's, you know, at this spot, there's like people with like Civil War, like the different like weapons they would use, and they're teaching you about it. There was one guy that was dressed, they're all dressed in the era, dressed as like a doctor, and he's got this like mannequin, and the leg is like cut off, and it like looks all gory, and like he's talking about like how like medical care was during like the Civil War and stuff, because like the point is that like
top tier.
This is when this was active. It was so interesting. I love this kind of stuff. It's so interesting. And so then we go into the barracks themselves, and you can't go upstairs, but I was like, I told Craig, I was like, I think that the activity is upstairs. I can like, it wasn't like audible, but I was like, I can hear all the footsteps. There's a bunch of activity up there. And then I was like, weirdly, I think there's a little girl's energy up there too. And he's like, oh, I don't know, whatever. So we get done, and then it was just us two doing this stuff. And then we were going to meet up with his family after. So then we go to dinner with his mom and aunt, and they're like, oh, how was it, whatever. And then they're like, oh, how about that barracks, it's haunted, did you know it was haunted? And I was like, yeah, actually I told Craig that. I was like, do you by chance know if it's the upstairs that people say is haunted? And they were like, their eyes open, but they're like, yeah, that's what people say. And they're like, you know what's so weird is that everyone picks up on a little girl up there. And I was like,
ah!
It was
Jean Parmesan
for our Arrested Development fans out there. And then one more thing happened. I don't know why I was so open this day.
I love it though.
But so, you know, we're in the neighborhood. This part has some sadness to it, but it's very sweet. So I also connected with Craig's cousin, who is in spirit. Mm. And we like drove past the street where this cousin had been hurt. We'll say hurt. He was shot when he was very young. It was very sad and tragic. He was just got caught up in, you know, bad people. And so he mentioned it as we were actually walking to the drum barracks. He like pointed down that street and he said, that's where that happened. And he hasn't talked about his cousin to me a lot. It happened like decades ago when Craig was very, very young. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen a picture of him or anything. I'd heard his name before because he had mentioned him a little bit a couple times. And I immediately got an image of him and I said, Did he have like buzzed hair and he was like just starting to grow a mustache, so it looked kind of like, you know, like how it's like thinner or whatever? And he was like, yeah, yeah, that's exactly what he looks like. And so I just felt like I was getting some messages and they were very sweet. And I was just kind of talking to him, and Craig was like, because I've never read for Craig before. It just hasn't come up. Like, and it's,
right.
I don't know. I just never, you know, he wasn't like, do a medium reading for me or whatever. So I was just like, whoa, I was like, okay, like this is like what I feel like his personality was like. And this is like the message I'm getting and whatever. And it was like cracking jokes. And Craig was just like, oh my God, like, this is crazy. And it was really special. And then we ended up driving down that street. And as we were driving down the street, I like felt, I like had this pain. And I was like, did it by chance happen behind his ear? And he was like, that's exactly what happened. Like, I felt it. And it was just,
wow,
really powerful, and really special. And I'm glad that I got to do that for Craig. But again, I just like, I had never had it just randomly, you know, like we're both very about like boundaries and we don't like really like let it come through unless mm-hmm. like we're sitting down with somebody. And it was just really special. And I think it was healing for Craig just to sort of like talk about it, because it happened when he was so little. And so much time has passed that, you know, I don't think he really like considers still having grief over it. But I could tell it just was like sweet, where it was just like, oh, like, just felt like he was like very much at peace. And and the cousin was very much like, it was bound to happen. And like he kind of like cracked a joke where it was like this or prison, and like I didn't want that, so it's all good, like I'm at peace, I'm all good. And it was really interesting, and it was very special, and it was very sweet. So I was just this day where I was just like super open, and then I was like, okay, no more, please.
Yeah, all right, the sun is setting.
We're going into the restaurant, and I was like, no more, please. But that was really special. And then change of tune, but your girl went viral on TikTok.
Yes, she did.
I was like, I got the nudge. I was like, start a TikTok account and start posting so that like Julia and I can go live together, like how we go live together on Instagram from mm-hmm. our own homes. Because I was like, it's just important that you can, so you don't have to be together to go live on TikTok. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start my account and just start posting, and, you know, hopefully I'll get to like 1,000 followers soon so I can go live with Juliet. Well, okay, I did the spell. I did mm-hmm. the Rose of Jericho spell that,
wow,
if you go on the Goddess Hangs TikTok, we have it on there. It's not one of the pinned ones. Just scroll down.
You'll find it.
And it's posted as a money spell. But what's interesting is I didn't add anything to it. I just did the Rose of Jericho. And no crystals, no dollar bills, no coins, no nothing. I just felt called. I just felt it was... So it was last Thursday. At the time of recording, it was 5 days ago. And I did the spell. And so the Rose of Jericho, if you haven't seen it, you buy it and it's this dried up little clump. It looks like a little tumbleweed.
If you didn't know what it was, you would throw it away.
Oh, absolutely. It
looks like a dead plant.
And it's the most magical little plant. It's also known as like the resurrection plant. Mm-hmm. And you add it to water and it opens and it blooms beautifully. And mine has this like beautiful spiral in it. And you can do that. You can take it out of the water. It'll dry back up. You can put it back in the water. It'll open back up and look alive. Well, it is alive. And I don't remember. It's like years that it will do this, like 7 years or something.
You can open and close it, I believe, for 7 years.
And so it's great for abundance magic, new beginnings, you know, like resurrection type vibes, like, yeah, like new beginning or drawing in abundance, because it's got this like, it's like this never ending cycling, right? And I hadn't used it for a while. So I was like, you know what? It's Thursday. Thursday's ruled by Jupiter. Great for abundance magic. And so I grabbed it in tumbleweed form, all dried up. And I filled this shallow plate with water because it opens up like flat. So it's nice to have like a plate or a wide bowl that's like sort of shallow, but has a little bit of space for water. And Boo's getting very comfortable.
She's so cute.
And I held the tumbleweed and I meditated. And then I put my hands And I put it in the water and I put my hands over the water for a while. And I spent a lot of time just like directing energy into it. And I was actually talking out loud to it and just sort of intuitive, just sort of channeling like what I wanted and all of that. And then I sort of blacked out. Get ready. And I was like, it was like 9 o'clock at night. It was like 7 o'clock at night. But I was like, get ready. Like, no, like I wasn't wearing any makeup or anything. And I just felt, I was like, just like, get ready, get really cute. And I was like, okay. And then, so I was like, okay, I guess I'll create some content. And so I just like was like scrolling on TikTok, getting some inspiration. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do this thing that I came across. So I film it. And then my intuition again was like, you're not posting it yet. And I was like, okay. And I don't know, maybe if I would have posted it right away, it probably still would have been great. But I just felt intuitively, I was like, wait till tomorrow morning. And I was like, okay. And then I couldn't sleep that night. I didn't sleep at all. Like I had a terrible night's sleep. The energy was like, looking back, the energy was shifting around me.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%. Because I am a really good sleeper. I can sleep. I couldn't sleep. I kept waking up. Boo's waking me up in the middle of the night doing biscuits and stuff. I'm just like, Boo, I finally fell asleep. And I just like, it's like 6 a.m. and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get up. And I was like, oh, post that thing you made. And so I posted it. And it was like doing, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, it's doing good at first, but not like crazy. And then it just took off. And so today, as of today, okay, I had 150 followers. Should I look right now what it's at?
Yeah. It's just so fun. It's so fun how you can use magic to help.
99 plus new followers right now.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so I had 150 followers. So I posted it last Friday. So this is 5 days ago I posted it. And that video has 257,000 views. And I now have 9,673 followers, almost 10,000 followers. I will have 10,000 followers in 1 week.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
You will.
Just bananas. And it's just interesting because some other stuff that is dealing with the abundance in my life too is shifting around in big ways and making big decisions that are gonna affect a lot in my life. And just like, you know, listening to your intuition is really scary sometimes, and you feel like no, that never mind. But just like something like this is just like, no, see, you made space for this, and like, look at this come rushing in. So like, it's just been very interesting. And I give a lot of credit to that spell for opening up my intuition and sort of leading me to like make these small little decisions and post this at this time and do this and this, and just opening up so much in my life. So that's been really fun and cool. And it's just fun to go viral. And I'm a TikTok girly now. So meet me over there.
Oh my gosh. Meet both of us over there. I have a TikTok where I just am very just random on, but I have a lot of fun on it.
Yeah.
But the Goddess Hangs TikTok is great. Sadie's TikTok is great.
Follow all of them.
Follow all of
them. It's all the same names as our Instagram. Same mm-hmm. exact handles. And you know what? I didn't get TikTok at first. I was like, why do people like it so much?
Oh, it's the best.
It's the best because it's just like chill and casual and fun. Like you feel like you're just like FaceTiming with people mm-hmm. and they're talking directly to you and they're like in the moment. And mm-hmm. I'm like learning that like that's how you create on there, is just to like, you know, you might be planning a little bit, but like people want to feel like they're in that moment with you. And it's fun. It's like I've been scrolling on there more than Instagram, and I'm just having a real good time. So that's been really fun. I'm excited to create more on there, and it is different content than my Instagram. So if you want to join the fun, make sure you follow.
Join the fun. I was the past two nights this week, I have been going down a TikTok rabbit hole. There are some conspiracy theories out there that Britney Spears.
Oh, I came across this.
Is so here's the thing. I agree with the first one that she's not as free as we think.
Yeah.
I think there's stuff going on. The next level of it is that she has like body doubles slash clones slash stand-ins. I don't believe she was cloned personally, no. But there may be somebody who looks a lot like her that, you know, makes particular appearances or goes on stage. Who knows? Yeah. And then the third is that she died in 2004.
Oh, 2004.
Or 2002 or something. Oh, wow. Which I don't believe that either. But I was, you know, it's definitely entertaining to go down these rabbit holes because, you know, not every dot connects, but there are some things where it's like, you know, that's fishy.
Yeah.
That's weird.
There's something still weird going on there for sure. I believe that.
Like do a television interview.
Yeah.
It's like, sit down with Oprah.
Yeah.
Sit down with us.
Brittany,
if you're out listen. There, I'm your biggest fan in the whole world. I don't want to make sure you're okay.
Britney Spears on God of Sayings
2023.
You're going to hear first.
Yes. When you were in fourth grade, did you have a living wax museum? No? Only my school? So
I was like, what a specific frame of reference to put that in fourth grade.
Because you're talking about dressing up as like a historical figure.
Oh, yeah.
So in fourth grade, we had this project. And then my sister had this project because she and I went to the same school 11 years apart, where you would pick a historical figure. You would dress up as them.
Oh, yeah.
You would learn everything about them.
You did that.
And you'd sit on the desk. And then they'd come and they'd press your button and then you'd be like, hi, I'm Jane Goodall. I believe in helping chimpanzees.
Oh, well, oh, you were pretending to be a wax figure. I thought you meant like you went to a wax figure museum.
No, you pretend and you'd sit perfectly still until somebody came and pressed your button and the different classes would come visit and the parents would come visit.
Oh, that's funny. No, but we did have, we did do that project though. Like a dress up as your person, and but you, we would just go one by one to the front of the class and say our presentation. We didn't.
Oh no, we had to do like the your the Madame more Tussauds fun. Wax Museum, and my best friend Sydney did Shirley Temple, and every time somebody pressed her button, she would have to sing "Animal Crackers" in my soup, and to the point of like, and she's such a little performer, and she, I mean she's now a full grown adult performer, but not an adult performer. Never mind. But
she's an adult who's
an actor and a performer. But I remember that. And then my sister, she was dressing up as somebody from the 1800s or early 1900s. And my mom said, take her to Goodwill, find a costume. So we find a costume. Here's another random story. This one is not mafia related, but the police did show up. We found a costume that was like perfect. It just needed to be hemmed. It couldn't have been more like long sleeve up to the neck, a little white sat. Like it was so perfect. And I'm like, we'd been looking everywhere. And it was like $5 or something. I said, oh my God, great. We go to buy it. The police come into this Goodwill and they're like, store's closed. You got to get out. And I said, can I just leave the five? And I go to the person, I'm like, can we just buy this on our way out? And they're like, no, we can't do any transactions. Like, you got to get out of the store. And I was like, we have the presentation is tomorrow.
You're like, I must take this dress.
And so I just said, Melanie, just follow me. And so I said, we're just going to hide in plain sight. So I walked out just holding the dress and I said, goodbye. Thank you, officer. Goodbye. And my sister not getting it, being such a good 9-year-old. This is the only time I've ever stolen anything. They wouldn't let me buy it. And when I think about the thousands of dollars of things I've given to Goodwill over the years, I'm like, it's fine. It cancels out. My sister goes, you're stealing, right next to the police officer. And I said, oh no, I'm not. I just walked out. And I said, Melanie, don't say that.
Oh my God. You're like, I'm helping you here. Oh my gosh. God.
They wouldn't let me. I said, can I just leave the $5? No, you got it. I'm like, okay, fine.
You're like, I tried to pay for it.
With this huge colonial dress. Oh, that was a funny day. That was a funny day.
They must have been like, whoever ran that Goodwill must have been stealing donation money or something.
Something was going on.
Or maybe, yeah, it's just shady.
You know what? I'm certain that dress got donated right back to Goodwill. So we just borrowed it. I don't advocate stealing. I don't ever steal. But that time, I had no other choice.
One time, I never stole as a kid too. People are like, oh yeah, I like stole a candy bar or whatever. But one time when I was a teenager, I like I don't know. Now I have these tiny purses, but I had, the style, everyone just had a big purse back then. I had this big purse on my shoulder, and I was at Walgreens, I think, and I just had, I was getting lots of makeup. I don't know if it was, a dance was coming up or Halloween or something, but all these, little pieces of, eyeshadow and stuff. And so I was just kind of holding them against my body and grabbing more stuff. And then I went and checked out, and when I got home, and I got a bag and everything, and when I got home and I opened my purse, I realized, one little, $3 eyeshadow had fallen into my purse, so I had accidentally stolen. And then I was like, "Mom, this happened. No, should I go back?" And she's like, "Let it go."
I did that too once. I actually took a little freak notepad, and I got home and I had a panic attack. I was maybe 7, and I was like, "Mom, we didn't pay for this." She goes, "Oh, you know what? I'll pay next time." I'm sure she's
just like, "I mean, it's not gonna make or break the store. It's fine." And I was like, and then my mind was racing that night. I was like, maybe a camera saw it fall into my purse.
They're going to show up at your
door. And they're going to think that I accidentally did, purposely accidentally did. And I had this whole meltdown and I got over it. But it was just, I was like, that's the only time I really think that.
Yeah. One time I accidentally stole a little tiny notebook pad. And then another time they wouldn't let me pay. And we had places to be.
I still feel like I told Craig this weekend because I was looking. Oh, I had a very specific. I love my journal I use every day. And I was like, I want the same one, but it's from a Marshalls type.
Oh, good luck. Max. Good luck.
I didn't even have the same cover, and I did find it.
Oh, good. Good luck.
I wanted the same size, basically, because I like writing one page in it because it's bigger versus two or three pages in a smaller book. Anyways, that's just me being specific, unreasonably specific. But we did find it. But the first store we went in, it wasn't there. Or they had it, but it was too scratched up. And Angel Craig is like, let me take you to a different one. You don't need even the scratched up one. And I was like, okay, if you insist. So, we left without buying anything. And every time I do that, it feels weird, right? Because you typically come out with something when you go to a store. So I'm always checking my hands and checking my pockets. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just always feel like I'm accidentally forgetting to put something back when I do this. Because, sometimes you grab stuff. And then if you're it's not worth waiting in line, you put it back.
Have you seen the meme that's walking out of a store pretending I didn't steal anything, even though I didn't steal anything?
I always feel like that. I'll be leaving the self-check at a Target and the security officer's right there. I'm always give him a weird smile and a way. And I always make sure I'm visibly holding my receipt. Craig will be like, oh, just toss it in that trash can right there. I'm like, no, they need to see that I have.
It's like it's Costco.
I have so much. I accidentally stole anxiety, or they're gonna think I stole, or who knows where that comes from. One time I stole an eyeshadow. Anyway, psychic animals, huh?
Psychic animals.
What a transition.
Today I wore my festive squirrel sweater.
The tail is quite ornate.
It's fluffy. Boo, I'm gonna have to sneak beneath you to get my notes.
Oh,
if you don't. Boo. I don't want to give her a little paper cut.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you, Boo, for keeping them warm. So, in full transparency, I was listening to an episode of the Lore podcast with Aaron Mankey, researched by Cassandra De Alba. And I thought this would make a great topic for Goddess Hang. So, big shout out to Lore. Big shout out to Alan Mankey. It was a fabulous episode. If you want to go listen to that one or that podcast as a whole, it's great. And they just told these great stories about psychic animals, and I thought, let's do it.
Can't wait.
Okay, so this one is a refresh. You already know about this one.
Ooh, okay.
Do you remember Paul the octopus?
No.
Okay. Well, that episode we talked about psychic predictions. Mm. I think I mentioned there was an octopus named Paul, but that I would talk about him at a later date. Okay, here we are.
I know that octopuses are really magical, and they have alien DNA.
They have alien DNA. If anybody listening has not yet watched My Octopus Teacher, have you watched My Octopus Teacher? It's on Netflix.
Remember a guy and he goes and dives and sees the same octopus every day? I think I did watch that.
And then they have
that.
This one really special moment. Mm-hmm. Oh, that broke my heart. Okay, so I think they're amazing. I thought they lived for 30 years.
Do they not?
They live for 1 year.
Oh, God.
1 year.
No, I can't take it.
That's it.
I don't have the emotional bandwidth for this. Okay, so Paul's no longer with us, I guess.
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
This all happened in 2010. So this episode is dedicated to Paul the Octopus in memoriam. As we go on, we remember Paul. Okay. So Paul the Octopus lived at the Sea Life Aquarium in Germany, and he was famous for being psychic. He did it a little bit. They did it a couple times, and he was doing pretty good. But in 2010, the World Cup was happening. And what happened was they put logos of the sports teams for each game on a clear container, and they filled the exact same type of food and amount of food in both of those clear containers. And they said whichever box that Paul goes to, that's the team that's going to win. 8 for 8. He got it right all 8 games.
Oh, I have chills. Wow.
It very much upset fans of Argentina. Some of them sent death threats to Paul the Octopus. And a chef even said that they wanted to cook Paul and eat him because they were predicting the opposing team winning. But Paul had a great gift.
Where are you at in your life? When you're sending an octopus death threats, what's going on with
you? You're not somewhere great, I'll tell you what.
It's not about Paul.
Paul couldn't read the letter.
He just said, this looks good, I'll have a snack.
So Paul, after those 8 games, he went into retirement, they said, to spend time with his family.
Paul, you did a really good job.
You did a really good job.
You're doing a really good job.
Paul the Octopus. Okay, the stories get more interesting. That was just a little short one.
Wow, that was so interesting to me.
Oh, wait until
there's more?
Wait until Lady Wonder.
Oh boy, is that a horse?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Do you know about Lady Wonder?
No, I've never. It just sounds like a horse name.
It's Lady.
When it starts with Lady. Or maybe it was me being psychic. I don't know.
Okay, so let me tell you a couple little short stories. There was another psychic animal called Toto the Cat. Toto the Cat was owned by an elderly couple who lived in the shadow of Mount Vesuvius.
Oh, wow.
One night in 1944, in the month of March, Toto woke them up. This was very out of character for Toto. He kept waking them up. He wouldn't let them go back to sleep. He was just driving them bananas to the point where the husband had to finally get out of bed and chase the cat just to try to catch it, and he couldn't catch it. But something about Toto's behavior was unusual. The wife was like, something's off. Something's off. The cat doesn't normally act like this, and I'm getting a gut feeling.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
And she felt the sudden urge to pack up everything of value and get the heck out of the house. Within an hour, Mount Vesuvius, the volcano that they lived beneath, erupted, and the flow of lava utterly destroyed their home. Toto the cat had saved all 3 of them.
Wow. That's amazing. There are so many stories of, like, before earthquakes is really common, like, dogs will be like insisting that their owners go outside and just like not be in the house, and then the house collapses.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how sensitive animals are. You know, they probably don't really have an ego to fight with the way we do. You know,
they're like, something's off, I have to react.
They're like, you need to get out here. I don't know why, and I don't care why. I don't need to process that information. I just know we need to be out here. I know we need to go. It's so cool. Listen to your animals.
Listen to your animals. Listen to your boo girl and your sweetie girl. I'm also fascinated how dogs specifically, they know when their owners are coming home. They will go wait by, like, they've done studies, like, they'll go wait by the window, even if it's at a different time of day, even if it's in 30 minutes, they can just, telepathically sense.
I've seen people that have, like nanny cam type things, like, you have a sweetie girl, yeah, like, posts, like, it's, like, you know, see, watching my dog when things are out of order or whatever, like, the day is going to go differently, and yeah, they, like, do it. That's, it's so, they're, like, so bonded. Quantum physics?
Quantum
entanglement?
Yes.
I've been listening to stuff about that. That's why
I've been listening to Don't the see the Oh, it's in, yep. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in 1918, we have another psychic friend named Snuffer the dog.
A psychic named Snuffer. Can't get cuter than that.
The children's book is coming out soon. Snuffer the dog was a stray dog picked up by the American Air Squadron in France. He loved to be in the cookhouse, hoping for a scrap to be dropped. He was your everyday
classic
dog.
Classic Snuffer.
Snuffer, just happy to be there. Oh. Happy to be there. One day, he started acting skittish, very out of character, began howling like a wolf. They said, go outside. He didn't want to go outside. But he began tugging at them, trying to pull them outside. It wasn't about him wanting to be let out. He wanted to, all of them to come out.
Snuffer.
He got everybody out of the building. And moments later, a German shell landed on that very building. So Snuffer's premonition saved the squadron.
Oh, full body chills.
Snuffer.
Snuffer, you're doing a really good job.
You did such a good job, Snuffer.
This is also dedicated to Snuffer, because Snuffer, if he did that in 1918, he is most likely no longer with us.
It's possible.
Shout out to Snuffer.
Toto.
Toto. Paul.
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 Okay. Here's another good one. A dog named Jim.
Jim and Paul. I love when animals have human names. That is the funniest shit to me. That is so funny. Jim and Paul.
I had a really, really good friend for a long time named Isabella. And she and I always had this joke where it was like, you never meet a dog named Sean. You just don't.
I always said that I wanted to name my dog Kevin, and then my friend named her dog Kevin. And I was like, you son of a...
Oh, I know Kevin.
But the three minions in the Minion movie that have the movie after...
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me, and it's Kevin, and that's three people names.
Is it Bob?
Kevin, Bob, and... Bob's the little cute one. I had a stuffed Bob from an ex that I loved, but I got rid of it. It's Kevin, Bob, and like Stu or something. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
But
the
all human
one.
Names. And I was always like, oh, I want to have like, I don't, I have, I'm a cat lady now. But back then I was like, I want three dogs. I want to name them these three human names. I think that'd be the funniest shit ever.
I love that. All right. The dog named Jim.
Jimbo.
Jim was born in 1925. He was the smallest of his siblings, the runt of the litter, but he had really big eyes.
A classic coming-of-age story with Jim.
He was a Llewellyn Setter dog, which I actually have no idea what that is. We'll have to look it up.
I feel like a setter is one of those... I can't picture what kind of dog that would be, but I feel like when it's a setter, like they're like good at like... working, like they're smart,
like, you know, like
they
like
sniff stuff out or something.
Isn't the Irish Could setter that like red dog with the really long ears? Because I had a boyfriend once who looked exactly like an Irish setter.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Yeah, let's do a little dog reconnaissance mission on this one.
What was the first part of the
Llewellyn setter, and then I want to see an Irish setter just to confirm.
Setter. Oh, okay. That's I typed in Llewellyn, but it came up as English, so it must be the same thing.
Oh, but it's so cute. It's like a.
And they're like smart dogs that like help you when you're hunting and stuff, I think.
Okay, look up Irish.
Because all of these are outside looking like they're on a mission. Oh my gosh.
When dogs have jobs, can I tell you nothing like warms my heart than when a dog wakes up and has a job?
One of my exes had a dog that was part, what's it called? One of those dogs that just like needs to, they're so smart. Like you could teach them a trick.
Border collie?
Yeah, he was part collie. Yeah. He was like half collie. And you could show him like a new trick once and he would do it. Like he was so smart and he was so fun to play with. But you had to tire out his brain every day as well as his physical body because he was just so smart.
Me.
me. Yeah, they're bred for hunting. helping you hunt. Okay, and then what was the other? An Irish setter?
An Irish setter.
Oops.
I feel like they're the really majestic ones with like the red long hair and ears. Am I imagining it?
Why didn't... Okay, images.
Don't you love this episode? Oh, yeah, that's my boyfriend. My old boy, not my current boyfriend.
Stunning.
My current boyfriend's a golden retriever.
This is what your boyfriend looked like?
Literally.
Here, no, maybe you can zoom in on the video.
Just Google
art.com. You can buy a photographic print of an Irish setter. Oh, they're so cute, though.
Okay,
go on about Jim.
So Jim was stubborn and opinionated. And his owner, Sam Van Arsdale, owned and trained dogs for, you guessed it, hunting and working. But Jim did not want to do what he was told. He was a disobedient, shade-loving rebel. He was like if Ferdinand the Bull was a dog. Just wanted to like lie in the grass and sniff the flowers.
What if we just chilled over here instead?
So one day...
Me.
One day... Sam Van Arsdale took all the dogs out for a hunt, and he knew that Jim was going to be unhelpful. Mm-hmm. And he said, go lay under a hickory tree. And Jim did. Jim found the one hickory tree on the property and took a nap under it. And then Sam was like, that's weird. I'm going to start testing this out. So he would then say, go under an oak tree. And he would go sit under an oak tree. He would say, sit under a walnut tree. And he'd sit under a walnut tree. He said, go sit under a cedar tree. He would sit under a cedar tree. He could also distinguish colors or make and models of cars. He'd say, you know, go sit by the Pontiac. And he knew which one was the Pontiac.
Oh, my God.
He would bring Jim into town. Jim knew it all. He would say, if somebody's feeling unwell, Jim, who should they go see? And he would walk over and park himself right next to the physician. So this was all happening in Missouri in the 1930s. Wait, what year was this? He was born in 1925. Okay, so 1920s, 1930s. People began visiting Jim for answers to their questions. He was the seer of the town. They would say, am I going to have a baby boy or a baby girl? What are the sports results going to be? What are the names of the horses that are going to win the Kentucky Derby? So what they would do is they would write things on slips of paper and lay them out. They'd put down all the names of the horses, and there's a lot of horses that run in that race. 7 years in a row, that dog put his paw on the winner of the Kentucky Derby.
He's like a pendulum that'll swing towards like the answer, but he's a dog that walks over to it. Oh my gosh. Wow.
One investigator asked him to use his personal trick without Sam moving because they said, you know, maybe you're just training him. Like, this is maybe just a really smart dog.
Sam, though.
So Sam, yeah, exactly. Sam stood perfectly still while this investigator did his thing, and Jim passed with flying colors.
Jim!
Of course, somebody came forward and said, this is the occult. He's working with the devil. Because, of course, anybody who's intuitive and tuned in must be, right?
Right.
Like us. he didn't want to sit and roll over. He wanted to answer life's more complex questions.
Jim, you're doing a really good job.
Jim passed away in 1937. He lived 12 long, wonderful years. And Sam was heartbroken over this loss. And he wanted Jim to be buried in the family plot, but the cemetery wouldn't allow it. So what Sam did is he got permission from the person who owned the land immediately next to the cemetery to bury Jim the dog right there on the edge of the plot of the land.
Oh.
And that's the story of Jim the dog. And that's not even the craziest one.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so this one isn't so much psychic, but it's interesting. And then the last one is super psychic. So I think I'm going to tell you this one. We'll do our ad break, tell you all the fun things going on in our world. Then I'll tell you the best story of all. And then we'll sing a holiday song. And that's going to be a great episode. Okay, so I never heard about this, the learned pig. Ever heard about the learned pig?
No.
So Samuel Bissett was a former shoemaker from Scotland. And in the 1770s, he toured with a group of trained creatures. He had tightrope walking monkeys, a turtle that could fetch things much like a dog would, and a trio of kittens that could hit their paws on tiny dulcimers to make music, and some even meowed and sang as they did it.
Oh my God.
So this was the hit of Scotland. People came far and wide to come see this.
Oh, I want to see the kittens playing music.
And it was a very lucrative career for Mr. Bissett. He would make £1,000 for 1 week of having his show in business, which in today's dollar amount is $200,000.
A week?
A week.
Dang. So, we gotta teach Mr. Cat and Boo how to play some music.
I know. What are we doing here? So in 1782, a small black piglet was born. And his name was Toby.
Toby. That's Toby.
You know why they came up with that name? And in fact, a lot of the pigs at this time were named Toby because of...
As you started that sentence, I was like, in my brain, I was like, wouldn't it be funny if she said they were all named Toby?
A lot of them were. Because what? From Hamlet, to be or not to be, so they named it Toby.
In fact, fun fact, in this time period, a lot of piglets were named Toby.
At least in his, maybe they just kept making new Tobies.
In his circle.
In Samuel's little circus. So, so he was trained for 2 years and he'd wear a little tiny red waistcoat.
Oh, God, look at pictures of Toby.
Okay. Also, side note, did you see that turtle that just turned like 192 or something? This like huge tortoise that is almost 200 years old. And there are pictures of the tortoise like as a 50-year-old in the 1890s. And just him today like chomping on some watermelon.
You know, let's circle back to the tortoise because I have something to add to that.
How come a tortoise can live forever and an octopus lives 1 year?
Okay, listen. Okay, I'm just going to say
just it. Do it. Go for
it. Okay, so when I was little, I went to Qigong trainings with my mom.
Yes.
I'm actually certified since I was like 9 years old. I think I'm certified level 2, but
you
I
Qigonged me once or twice.
I did, and you felt it.
I did.
I want to become trained again, and I would start over at level 1 because I don't remember anything. I mean, I remember the basics, but anyways, he talks about, because a lot of Qigong is slowing down the breath. It's like yoga, like, you know, breath work is so powerful. He talks about breathing very slowly when you go into practice and when you're working with the energy, breathing very slowly. And as a kid, I'm in this live seminar learning, and he's talking about the tortoise, and he says why they live so long is because they breathe so slowly. And he said, and I don't know if this is true, and it could have been sort of a partly, I think there's some science behind it, but he said that like the slower our breath, like we have a certain amount of breaths because as we breathe in and out, it metabolizes is the right word, but we only have so many breaths we can breathe, basically, that our bodies can handle. So when we breathe more slowly, it like prolongs our life, basically.
Ooh, I like that.
And tortoises breathe really, really slowly. Like it'll, I don't know what it was. I remember it was crazy though. It was like it takes minutes for a single breath. And that's why they live so long, apparently, according to this thing that I listened to when I was 9 and could be misremembering. So take what you will.
Research that.
Master Chun Yi Lin, Spring Forest Qigong. It's incredible. He does a lot of free stuff. I'm still on his email list and go to his like little live free Zoom thing sometimes. He's amazing. And he actually even worked on my mom after she was diagnosed and brought her a lot of peace of mind that like she was working with a master of Qigong. He's amazing. Also, like my memory of him when I was 9 and when I look at him now, he looks exactly the same. So I think he's on to
something. Slow breathing. You know, that's why the tortoise wins the race.
Mm-hmm. Slow and steady.
Okay.
Back to Toby the piglet in his red coat.
In his red waistcoat. So he could do a lot of things. And to be fair, I'm sure he was trained to do a lot of this, but it's still very cool. He could count, like they'd say, how many people are watching us today, Toby? And he could like compute that and then walk over and like press the correct number.
Okay, that's impressive.
He could identify people by name using a series of cards.
Oh.
He could look at a pocket watch of any person in the audience and replicate the time on the cards. He was just, I don't know if he was psychic or just really smart.
Yeah.
But then, poor Samuel, he brought his show over to Dublin, Ireland, and somebody, trigger warning, stabbed him to death because with a sword because he didn't get permission to do the show from the city, and he died 2 weeks later. That's just, I guess, how things were handled then. So, wow. John Nicholson bought the whole thing and took over. And in Ireland, Scotland, and England, the little learned pig was even more popular than Isaac Newton. And I guess...
even more popular than Isaac Newton. What a comparison. Think about being Isaac Newton and having that legacy and being compared to Toby the Pig.
You're playing second fiddle to this little pig in a coat.
That's how you're remembered.
Somebody, of course, thought the pig's powers came from the devil, because how could anybody be good at anything without Satan involved? And again, most of the pigs were named Toby. I thought that fact was so interesting, I wrote it down.
I wrote it twice.
Okay. You're not going to want to miss the very last story. It's unbelievable. But first, we're going to do a quick ad break. It's brought to you by our sponsors, us!
Us! Burr, 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 burr! Don't wait for ads to come to you. Sponsor yourself.
Sponsor yourself. Have the audacity. Come one. Hear ye, hear ye. Psychic octopi, pigs named Toby. This week we are hosting a free, that's right, you heard us, free masterclass called Be the Alchemist, Turn Shit into Gold. This is a masterclass on manifestation, regardless of circumstances. This is about resiliency. This is about inner power. This is about really incredible mindset work. You're not going to want to miss it. It's totally free. And if you're listening to this right now on Monday or Tuesday, there is still time to get on this list. Mm-hmm. The link will be in all of our bios. Sadie will pop show it in notes. The show notes.
Even if it's Wednesday before 5 Pacific.
Before 5 Pacific, you can still sign up. You can still win prizes. Mm-hmm. This is a masterclass. Even if you can't make it, if you're like, Wednesday at 5 p.m., I have to take my pig Toby to the vet. It's okay. We will send you a replay that mm-hmm. will be available to watch for 3 days, and then it's going to disappear into the ether. It's going to go behind a magical little paywall. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to catch this free masterclass. It's going to be so activating, so exciting. And get on this list. When you're on the list, you're going to get an email that gives you a very simple way to learn how to win free prizes. We're giving away 3 free months of our upcoming Alchemy Collective, which we'll share more about at the very end of our masterclass. 3 free months of the Coven, 3 free months of the Psychic Circle, and a Quantum Goddess holographic deck.
Doo-doo-doo. Oh my goodness. Speaking of the Quantum Goddess holographic deck.
There it is.
Have you put it on your Christmas or holiday wish list? Or perhaps you want to buy one for a friend? We have our holiday catalog. If you're on our email list, we already sent it to you. I think I can link it below.
Oh, yes, please. It's so cute. There's a Hallmark movie bingo board in our catalog.
It's so
games.
Cute.
Little fortunes and things.
Take a peek, because Juliet put a lot of love and magic into it, and there's some great deals on there. Our little holiday gift guide. We have extremely, extremely low stock of the Intuitive Magic Oracle, but there are still a few bundles left if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, and get it, because we're not reordering it. That's it.
It'll be vintage soon.
it's already special edition.
It is. We have the decks. We have we have the Psychic Circle and the Coven that we've already talked about. The Coven, we meet every new and full moon. We have a really fun Discord community. Mm-hmm. This is the space if you're looking for a little bit more casual of a vibe, connect make friends, learn a little bit more about witchcraft, and meet for new and full moon rituals every month on Zoom. It's so fun. And then Psychic Circle is for a little bit more of a mentorship-minded energy. We are here to develop your intuition. It's very beginner-friendly, so don't get intimidated by the word psychic. We're having so much fun in there. You, again, get a magical Discord community where we're in there answering questions and sharing experiences, and it's so fun to connect that way. And then you also get 2 calls a month in this space. One of them is a masterclass style, and then one of them's practice session style. So it's all well and good to learn about intuition and how important it is, but it's a whole nother game to learn to apply it mm-hmm. to your life. And that's really what Psychic Circle is all about, is to make it really tangible and useful in your day-to-day life. So we're already having so much fun in there. And then we're not going to share everything about Alchemy Collective yet, but that's going to be a space for mindset and manifestation mentorship. And when you join the Alchemy Collective, coming very soon, and we'll mm-hmm. give you even more information when you sign up for that free masterclass, but you'll be all in. You'll be all in on the coven, all in on the Psychic Circle, plus it's going to be very, very action-oriented, inspirational, take action on your life, mindset, manifestation, magic. You're getting the well-rounded experience, because in our experience, manifesting our dream life, our dream business, the key pieces of that were the mindset and manifestation mm-hmm. work and the intuition work we did and the witchcraft, right? So if you want to be a well-rounded witch with us, the Alchemy Collective just may be for you. So make sure you get in on that masterclass, because we'll have very special one. You could end up winning 3 months of Alchemy Collective. And we are also doing a really, really juicy intro early bird offer for everyone who attends the masterclass.
Oh, yeah. That you're going to love it.
You don't want to miss. So hop in that free masterclass. We're so excited. Our last one was just like, we were buzzing afterwards, and it changed our life, literally, the last free masterclass.
That's why I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, I'm like, what's gonna happen to us after this one?
I know.
How are we gonna school ourselves this time?
I'm just so excited at the opportunity when people do take the leap and go all in for Alchemy Collective, that you can be on 6 calls a month with us live. Mm-hmm. You don't have to attend all of them, and no, there will always be replays available. But you'll have the opportunity to be hanging out with us in our energy, in that flow with like-hearted, like-minded souls all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, we are the sum of the 5 people we spend the most amount of time with, our friends, our mentors, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
And we've just seen really remarkable things happen when people come into our world. And
yeah,
we just feel a huge, we've got all the, we've been working hard to get all these foundations in place so we can welcome as many wonderful people in as possible. So
we're so excited.
We're so excited. So that's our brah, brah, brah,
brah. Thank you for listening.
Thanks now for listening.
I am on the edge of my seat to hear about Lady Wonder.
Lady Wonder. The horse of all the world. Okay. So in 1925, also 1920s, 30s, 40s, big time for psychic animals.
Wow. What was going on then? Was the earth going through some sort of portal?
Think about it. It was like World War I, World War II. Yeah. It was like a lot was moving around.
Huh. Interesting.
So Claudia Fonda noticed in 1925 that her horse was different. She got her when she was very little. She bottle fed her. They were very close. About a year later, when she was about 1 year old, Claudia noticed that if she was outside the house and even just merely thought about the horse would come trotting over. She kept testing it out. She's like, this horse is telepathic. Like, this horse knows when I'm thinking about her and comes right over. So she thought, let's play with this a little bit. Let's see what else she might know. So she started to set up these like big blocks with letters, numbers, things like that. And would sort of ask questions, and the horse would respond by going over to these correct blocks. So then Claudia said, well, I'm just gonna make this giant contraption. And there's photos of it. You can look it up, Lady Wonder. It looks like a giant horse-sized like keyboard kind of with letters. It's like a big typewriter, but all the letters are in one long row. And what she could do is walk over, use her nose, and push up one letter at a time. Okay. So she made these, this giant typewriter as big as a piano with two rows of large buttons, and she would ask her questions and the horse would type out her, type out the answer.
She knew how to spell?
She knew how to spell, but she wasn't the best at it, but she spelled things by like phonetically. Okay.
I mean, to understand the sound that a letter makes is a big deal.
Okay. So she began to be able to predict. It wasn't just that she knew things that were already known. She started to do predictions. So over her life, over 150,000 people visited Lady Wonder for a glimpse of their future. You could pay $1 and ask three questions. What a deal. And not just people wanting to know, you know, the sex of the baby, because that was very popular, but politicians would come visit Lady Wonder and ask questions because she just seemed to know things.
Yeah.
So she predicted the stock market crash of 1929.
Oh, wow.
She predicted that Truman would win the election, that Eisenhower would win the election. There was another one as well. She knew that America would enter World War II.
Oh, wow.
Lady Wonder also helped bring closure to missing persons cases.
Oh, Lady Wonder.
The police came once and, you know, they said, can you please help us, 1952, find the location of a missing Massachusetts boy named Danny Matson? And the police found the body exactly where she said it would be.
Whoa. Whoa.
There was another one she helped with, too, but I didn't write that one down. She was able to do mind reading, clairvoyance, precognition. And it drew national attention to her because people were like, what the heck? And so then, of course, a lot of people came in and they were like, this has got to be some trickery.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to figure out what's going on. So people had mixed opinions. One person named John Scarn, who was a professional traveling magician in 1928, well-versed in tricks, he left convinced that Claudia was controlling the whole situation by the way she moved her whip, like by subtle little gestures. He felt like this horse and this woman are so connected that she's sort of cueing the horse.
But it doesn't matter because then Claudia's the psychic one.
Right.
Someone but, still has to be psychic in this situation.
But she denied. She's like, no, that's not what's happening. Another person, a highly respected psychologist, she said, where is my lost dog? And he... She told him where the dog was and found the dog. Turned a skeptic to a believer. She also predicted the winners of three extremely important boxing matches at the time. One professor who was like, this has got to be a joke. He wrote three things on a piece of paper and put them in his pocket. And it was like Carolina, Mesopotamia, and something else. I don't remember the third one. Put them in his pocket and said, what is written on the piece of paper in my pocket? And she got all three. She got all three. Another man came as a skeptic and the horse immediately hated him. Like, just sensed the energy, was like, uh-uh. They didn't like each other because he's like, I don't like this horse. This horse doesn't like me.
What did Lady Wonder ever do to you, you know?
The... Not a good match. So and this man's name was Jack, and he said, the woman was unfriendly and the horse hated me and I hated the horse. But one visit mystified him. He asked the horse to guess what his name was, and the horse said, the horse, Lady Wonder, spelled out Jack. And he said, okay, but I need another nickname. Tell me what only somebody would, who knows me really well, would call me. And the horse spelled out Josh. And only his long dead grandmother had ever called him Josh. Nobody knew that about him.
Whoa.
He's like, oh my, okay, the horse knows what. Years later, this man, Jack, came back. The horse immediately went over to the little typewriter and spelled out Josh.
Oh my God, I'm gonna start crying. Josh.
Lady Wonder lived to the age of 33. And sometimes her predictions were wrong. She thought she would live to 30. There were a couple things she got wrong, but she got a heck of a lot of things right.
Wow.
Including finding missing children, predicting presidencies, all sorts of things. One time they said, "Would you like to be human?" And she spelled out yes. Oh, I just got a chill with that one. Lady Wonder.
You're doing a really good job,
Lady Wonder.
I bet she reincarnated as a very psychic human.
It's me.
It's Juliet.
Call me Lady Wonder. And that concludes all of the amazing stories about psychic animals, just in time to end with a song.
Woohoo!
This song is inspired by a very sweet member of our community, a listener named Hallie, who suggested we do our own goddess spin on Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play for us a little snippet of Grandma Manifested with a Reindeer. Thank you, Hallie, for that great idea. If you have great ideas for little holiday songs, time is running out. Let us know this week. So I'm going to grab my guitar. While I get set up, is there anything you want to say about the lessons you learned about psychic animals? Any,
you know, I just feel so inspired. I always knew that animals were intuitive, but you know, like, you think of like their instincts, right? Like, they're very instinctual. So for them to predict that like a natural disaster is about to happen or something like that, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's like their, that aligns with an animal instinct. But for there to be things like knowing a nickname that only like dead grandma called somebody or things, that's like, wow, that's not animal instinct.
Right?
So cool.
I'm going to eventually test out if Sweetie Girl is psychic. I'm like, oh my gosh, Victor, she's reincarnated from the 60s. She's reincarnated from the, she loves it. He's like, maybe she just likes the tempo of the, I'm like, no, she's reincarnated.
Absolutely not. Don't be ridiculous.
Immediately no.
Immediately no. Let me have this.
All right. Boom. Sadie, you're going to like this. I put your name in the song.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay, it's just a little quickie. Okay. Grandma manifested with a reindeer. Vision boards and spells beneath the tree. And you might say there's no such thing as magic. But as for me and Sadie, we believe. Grandma manifested with a reindeer. They got on the perfect frequency. You might say it all sounds kind of crazy. But as for me and Sadie, as for all the witches, as for every single goddess, we believe.
We believe. Oh my God, that was so cute. I'm so emotional. It's a full moon.
It is a full moon in Gemini. Every day I stare at Sweetie Girl and I'm like, you're the sweetest girl in the whole wide world. I like sing her these little songs. Victor's like trying to get work done.
Wow. Boo, what did you think of that?
Anyways, this episode was full of animal action.
Woo, we love it. Woo-hoo. Oh my gosh. Well, make sure you are signed up for that free masterclass that's happening
please.
This week. We're so excited. It's so fun to be in all of your energy and meet new people and see others of your faces again. So we're so excited. Make sure you're following us on social media, both on Instagram and TikTok. It's all the same usernames, at Goddess Hangs. I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper. We're so grateful for you. Thank you for everything. And we'll be back next week for another Day of Witchmas.
Happy Witchmas. Merry holidays. I'm saying it backwards.
Bye.
Bye.